This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Shaoning. We are running a poll on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio asking you which electoral reform measure do you think you should be prioritised before holding GE15. Quick look at the results, Roshan.
71% say anti-hopping laws, 14% say postal ballots, 14% also say political financing laws, 1.4% say others. And I think some have expressed concerns that even though they voted for the anti-hopping law, they're not sure whether it's constitutional or legal. So that's something to pay attention to.
Indeed, and do continue to let us know what you think. There's still about an hour left to vote on the poll. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to an announcement by the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who said that the government, through the National Employment Council, will strive to create 500,000 jobs, despite the country being in a dire economic situation as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. So the hope is that this will help offset the number of unemployed this year, which has increased to 700,000, or 5.6%, compared with only 3% in the previous year. So the question is whether or not these measures will work, and whether or not the priorities are on the right track as well to help Malaysia address its unemployment issues. And for more on this, we have with us this morning Dr. Amanina Abdul Rahman, economist at World Bank Malaysia. Dr. Amanina, thank you for joining us. Now, the government has pledged to create these 500,000 jobs next year through the Janakerja Employment Guarantee Scheme. How realistic is this target given the current economic situation?
Thank you for having me. So if you look at the Budget 2021 speech, the Janakerja scheme actually includes various components, with only one component that is directly aimed at job creation. So the first component is the Penjana Kerjaya Hiring Incentive, and this acts like a wage subsidy to promote hiring, and is expected to provide opportunities for 200,000 job seekers. The second is a set of reskilling and upskilling programs to be implemented by several different ministries and agencies. And this is also expected to benefit about 200,000 trainees. The third is the MyStep Short-Term Employment Program. And this is the only program that directly creates jobs. And this is aimed at providing 50,000 contract jobs in the public sector and in JLCs. And the fourth is targeted wage subsidies to the tourism sector.
But do you see more high-value jobs being created or in the high-value industries? Or given that there are labour shortages in the low-income jobs, are they expected to be developed there?
Right. So really, if we look at the government's plans and you look at this MyStep program, which is the short-term employment program, they have mentioned that 35,000 job opportunities will be offered in the public sector. And some of the examples of jobs that were given are nurses, medical attendants, social welfare officers, and temporary teachers. And these really are mid-skilled and high-skilled positions. If you look at the jobs that they intend to create in JLCs, it also seems to be mid-skilled and high-skilled positions. The hiring incentive, on the other hand, seems to target low and mid-skilled workers, but also includes an allowance for high-skilled training and professional certifications. So this can support workers in moving towards high-skilled positions. So there really does seem to be support all across the skill spectrum.
So does the plan that's been put forward by the Prime Minister, does it actually address both the unemployment situation created by the pandemic as well as the pipeline of fresh graduates seeking jobs? I mean, taking into account the high youth unemployment that we have in this country, which should the government prioritise?
Well, at this point in time, really all workers need support, and the plans that the government have put in seems to be directed towards upskilling and reskilling, which is very important. Although we should note that different types of support may be needed for youth. For example, while experienced workers may have more well-furnished CVs to help them obtain employment, fresh graduates would need extra support to really obtain their first job. So short-term employment programs like apprenticeships can provide fresh graduates with the job experience that they need to be able to eventually obtain better jobs. So really, all workers need support, although different workers may need different types of support.
Yeah, I think if I look at some of the numbers, youth unemployment as of October was around 13.4%, which is quite a concerning number. But this is not a new thing. This was even the case before the pandemic, the youth unemployment rate. So when we look forward, Doctor, we are looking a lot to the government side, but there are ways that the government can also incentivize the private sector to, I guess, hire more Malaysians and address the unemployment issues. Now, we've seen the wage subsidy program come into place. Are there any other incentives that you think the government can introduce?
At this point in time, perhaps before turning our attention to other types of incentives, it will be worthwhile to see how these programs that are in the pipeline for 2021 play out. For example, the Perjana Kerjaya hiring incentive, that is also a type of wage subsidy, and that also places a lot of emphasis on hiring Malaysians. And these programs overall represent steps in the right direction towards supporting upskilling and reskilling, as well as employment and re-employment. So as these programs are implemented, it would be important to monitor and evaluate their performance to really see the short-term and long-term employment outcomes for the beneficiaries of these programs.
So how should the government reset its broader labour policies in light of the economic pain that's been caused by the pandemic?
Well, one avenue that Malaysia can pursue to support its labour market in the future is to really strengthen its employment services, as these play an important role in facilitating training or skills building programs and matching workers and jobs. So if you look at the OECD countries, they have strong employment services that enable them to help workers in times of crisis. And some of the services that they offer include, for example, profiling of job seekers to determine the most appropriate support for different types of workers. They also offer specialized services to employers, and they use technology to improve all of their services in a cost-effective manner. So improvements or investments in these types of services can ensure that Malaysia is better prepared to face the next crisis.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Amanina. That was Dr. Amanina Abdul Rahman, economist at the World Bank Malaysia, speaking to us about the proposal to create more jobs in order to offset some of the unemployment numbers that we've been seeing as a result of the pandemic. Shaning, what were some of your thoughts from that conversation?
One of which is actually, when I still look at the government policy, I wonder whether there's enough emphasis in terms of creating the right kind of jobs. And also at the same time, we should also be really looking at our education system, because we need to make sure that, you know, especially the young have the right education, which meets the future of jobs. Because I think 40% of all jobs currently that exist will probably not exist in the next decade or so. I mean, as there is a lot of structural changes in the nature of work itself. So I think that has to be addressed. But aside from that, my concern is how much job creation is coming from the private sector, because we cannot, again, depend on government and also government-linked companies to create the right number of employment. It has to be private sector-driven as well. But for the private sector to once again start employing people, it needs to be economic recovery. They need to have confidence in terms of the economy. And for the last few years, actually, private sector investment has been declining, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, Shani, when I take a look at some of the reports that we get, and it's particularly on the oil and gas sector, we're starting to see recovery in their numbers financially, not just in Petronas, I'm talking about across the world, whether it's Shell or Exxon and Mobil or even BP. But a lot of that is on the cost management side of things. So what does that mean? Jobs are being cut, right? We're seeing consolidation in jobs in all these industries, which were formerly very important job opportunities, right? And it's not just them, it's a lot of industries. And I think when we take a look at the services sector, hotels, tourism, those are big job drivers, and they're still in, I mean, they're starting to see a bit of recovery, but they're still in the doldrums at this point.
Yeah, and I think there's also, there are multiple aspects of the employment issue, of this employment situation to be addressed, right? One of this is the actual availability of jobs. Another is education. Another is also whether or not we're talking about the formal or the informal sector when it comes to the access that people have to the measures, to government measures to try and alleviate this burden. It's a difficult situation to just, there's no one size fits all, I guess, when it comes to trying to address this problem. And it is something that definitely needs to be addressed in these volatile times, because as Stevie Ray Vaughan puts it, the house is rocking. And that is the song that is coming up on our Mercedes Legendary Rock Break right now as we head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. After that, the Breakfast Grill with the Malaysian Rubber Glove Manufacturers Association. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.